Spotlight is on the Bible, the Good Book Club, up next.
Encounter Jesus on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Deacon Harold Burke Sivers joining us. Matthew 15:32-16:12. Good Book Club brought to you by Gloria Deo, Books and Gifts, Omaha and Lincoln.
It's now time for the Spirit Mornings Good Book Club on Spirit Catholic Radio. As we open the Bible, let God's Word resonate with you throughout this blessed day.
Then Jesus called his disciples to him.
I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.
Where are we to get bread enough in the desert to feed so great a crowd?
How many loaves have you?
7. And a few small fish.
Commanding the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. They took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. Sending away the crowds, Jesus got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. The Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them,
"When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of Jonah."
So he left them and departed. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread.
"Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees."
The disciples discussed it among themselves.
"We brought no bread."
"O men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to perceive that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees."
Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Just about 8:19, there you go. Matthew 15, verse 32 through chapter 16, the first 12 verses, the Good Book Club on the air. The Bibles are open and we're ready to go. I'm Bruce McGregor along with Jeb Eichheit, and Jeb joining us today. We are delighted to have back with us on the Good Book Club, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Deacon, welcome. Good to have you with us today.
Yeah, good morning. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me back.
All right. Well, we have some similarities to talk about here. We're going to contrast a couple of miracles here. The feeding of 4,000 that we covered today in Matthew 15, 32-39, similar to the previous feeding of a large crowd in the 14th chapter of Matthew. Maybe highlight some of the differences in these two for us, Deacon.
Yeah, so in fact, Jesus even alludes to this himself in the text that we just heard. But some of the differences are in Matthew 14, because as Jesus noticed, there were 5,000 people, and today we hear 4,000 people. And again, as Jesus mentions, there were 5 loaves and 2 fish, and today there are 7 loaves and a few fish. Matthew 14, 12 baskets left over, and today 7 baskets left over. And the point is that both the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, they really emphasize the miraculous nature of the event and the abundance that God provides, which is, a beautiful sign for us today, the implications for us. What little we believe, that we have to offer God at certain times in our lives. I don't have enough money. Gosh, I wish I had more time. You know, I'm not as talented as this other person. God, where's my prayer life? You know, that God will multiply what little we have for his glory. I remember once I was struggling with, you know, my prayer life. And I was doing my office and all that kind of stuff, but I had so many other things going on. I found myself kind of squeezing it in. And I went to my spiritual director and said, how can I, you know, balance this better? He goes, yes, pray more. I said, did you not hear what I said? I said, I'm having a hard time with this whole prayer thing. His point was, if you make your relationship with God a higher priority, God will multiply your time. Hmm. And I found that very much to be true.
Yeah, St. Wow. Teresa of Calcutta, of course, gave us a great example of that as well, Deacon.
Oh, yeah. She was awesome. Yeah, and you know, the things that she was able to accomplish with so little, but her heart was in the right place. She says, everything is for God. And once you honor God, God will use what you have for his glory. As it says in Psalm 115, yeah. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory.
Mm. Yeah, beautiful.
Let it be his will, not our own. All right, well, as we move through Matthew here, we get into chapter 16, and we get this sign from heaven. Now, they see the physical part, right? That's the easy part. But they're a little bit blind to those spiritual signs, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, and that's what Jesus is definitely bringing out for them. And he uses this reference to call them blind in several other places. In Matthew 15, the previous chapter, says the disciples came to him and said, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard these things? Because, you know, that's when Jesus was berating them. You brood of vipers. You know? And Jesus answered, well, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both fall into the pit. And again, later in Matthew 23, he will also say, woe to you blind guides and you blind fools. You know, so this idea of blindness, why? Because Jesus came to bring the light. Mm-hmm. He said people preferred darkness rather than light. They preferred their own way of thinking, their own way of living, their own way of doing things instead of conforming themselves to the beauty and the truth that Christ was bringing. So he's reminding them, you guys are blind and I am the light that will lead you to my heavenly Father.
Right. Yeah, Deacon, he was so harsh on him, it's not surprised that they wanted to kill him. I mean, you know, he had some pretty profound and insulting things to say to them, but he was underscoring this point that he is the bread of life. He is the Son of God, and they were not willing to hear that message.
Oh, no, not in the least. And that's why he eventually killed him, because he called himself God.
Right.
You know, which of course he is God, but they never believed that the Messiah would manifest himself in this way. You know, they were looking for a political ruler, a military ruler. Someone's going to free them from what they saw, you know, the oppression of the Romans. But Jesus came to free them from sin. Hmm. He came to free them from everything that separates them from God's love.
Now, Deacon, why do you think it is that we have this proclivity towards, you know, the darkness? We'd rather be blind guides than to see the light. Why do you think we want to venture down that road instead?
Well, it's easier. It's mm-hmm. easier to be in the dark. It's like, for example, when I give a homily on a quote unquote difficult issue like abortion, I'm well aware that there are people out there that may have had an abortion, or this past weekend talking about marriage. And I mentioned a little bit about divorce because I'm a child of divorce. So I mentioned that in my homily. I'm well aware that there may be people out there that are divorced for whatever reason, you know, but because that the teaching may be difficult, doesn't mean that you can't preach the beauty of truth. And sometimes people are just comfortable in the dark. You know, they're very just comfortable there. And when the light comes in, it hurts sometimes. You know, the light is bright and it hurts your eyes. You don't want to see because you're very comfortable where you are. But, you know, it reminds me of the blindness of, you know, when Jesus came from resurrected from the dead, his clothes were brilliant, as white and bright as no fuller could bleach. You know, this light was just penetrating the darkness of that first Easter Sunday. And that light is still penetrating us today. I mean, think about it. How many shows on television about vampires and zombies? creatures of the darkness.
Yeah,
you know, and we need Jesus teaches we need to be children of the light.
Absolutely. Yeah, and when we look at chapter 16, verse 4, we see an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. But no sign shall be given to it except the sign of Jonah. What is Jesus referring to here in bringing forth this sign of Jonah?
Yeah, so that phrase sign of Jonah was used by Jesus as what's called a typological metaphor, looking forward to his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. So Jesus answered with this expression when asked by the Pharisees for miraculous proof that he was indeed the Messiah. So basically say, well, show us a sign, perform for us, you know,
yeah,
convince us. But they remain unconvinced of Jesus' claims about himself, despite the fact that they saw him curing a demon-possessed man back in chapter 12 who was both blind and mute. And remember back a few chapters ago, they were accusing Jesus of driving out demons by the power of Satan. And they asked him again for a sign from him. And again, very similar to chapter 12, Jesus says, for as you will not give him a sign, the sign of Jonah. And he says, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You know, he said the men of Nineveh. So right there's a direct connection between the 3 days of Jonah in the whale and 3 days of Christ in the belly of the earth in the tomb. Then the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment, and this generation will condemn it. So Nineveh converted.
Yeah.
they heard the gospel, the quote unquote gospel that Jonah was preaching, and they converted. Now here is God himself, the word came first, preaching the gospel, and they're not converting. So he's drawn this parallel between Jonah and what he's doing today.
Wow.
Great. So and what's the implications for us?
Yeah.
Stop looking for signs. Look what's happening today. What does COVID mean? Oh, it means Jesus is on his way back. Or what about these unapproved apparitions? I saw Mary underneath a rock, you know, or these false prophets of our age. People are looking for signs. Forget it. Just focus on our faith. Focus on, because Jesus says no one knows the day or hour. So stop trying to predict it and just live, you know, and prepare yourself for the coming of Christ.
Wow.
Right.
All right. Well, as we move along, here come the Pharisees again. And Jesus is talking about the dangers of what they're being taught. Now, the people here, I mean, he had some people, right, that were starting to believe in what Jesus was doing. They see these miracles. They go, man, this guy's got something here. But yet you still have those that were listening to the Pharisees. What is Jesus talking about?
Yeah, so he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And again, poor apostles are slow-witted to pick up on what Jesus is saying. They think, with bread? We don't have bread. No. Jesus, listen. He's emphasizing here the dangerous teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that will actually prevent the faithful from entering the kingdom of God. So Jesus is really preparing them to receive his teaching that the true faith, the true doctrine, comes through Peter and the church. Because a few verses later, of course, we get to Matthew 16, 18, the famous, on this rock I'll build my church. And again, beautiful allusion here in the church's, on the Second Vatican Council document on the church. It says, Christ, Lumen Gentium, Christ, the one mediator, established and continually sustains here on earth his holy church, the community of faith, hope, and charity, as an entity with visible delineation through which he communicated truth and grace to all. Mm. So Christ is establishing a vehicle to continue his teaching, continue the preaching of the gospel, not the false teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees, but he's establishing a church, a community of faith led by the apostles who are going to continue to hand down all the way from that first generation all the way down to ours today, the truth and the beauty and the grace that God gave his life to, in order to give us.
Right, and has to remind the boys again as they're going along of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. You know, don't you remember this, guys? Let's get the light bulb going here.
Yeah, like I said, they're a little bit slow to pick up on what Christ is saying. And that's why he's going to make it a little clearer to them. you know, by taking him up to Caesarea Philippi,
right?
You know, and starting to really lay the foundation for how the church is going to operate once he ascends and to the Father, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon them at Pentecost, and they really begin the work of establishing the kingdom of Christ, not the kingdom that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were looking for, a military operation, but the church that's going to bring, again, the light of Christ into the darkness of the world.
You know, it's so interesting, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, when you talk about how slow they were to kind of understand these things. Yet here we are today, and I think a lot of us can relate to those people because we are sometimes slow following our Lord, even though we have all this information and knowledge now.
Right, and we're looking for signs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you hear this all the time, and it just drives me nuts. You know, and sometimes people ask you, what does COVID mean? Is that a sign from God? Is God punishing us? And all this stuff. I'm like, look, just stay focused on, I mean, we you know, before COVID, we had 69% of Catholics didn't believe Jesus was present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist.
Right.
You know, we're worrying about signs. Let's worry about how we're going to turn those things around. We need to emphasize a Eucharistic faith. That's why I think the solution today is a Eucharistic renaissance, or a definite revival of the love of Christ present to us, body, blood, soul, divinity in the Eucharist.
Yeah.
So more Eucharistic adoration, more Eucharistic processions, more catechetical teaching on Christ present in the Eucharist to us. I think we'll, you know, overshadow all those signs. And just like Jesus was saying, stop looking for earthly signs, focus on what I'm teaching. I think this is a beautiful way in our age today to have the words of Jesus in the Gospels come alive.
Right, yeah, and we really need to understand, indeed, why the Eucharist is, in fact, the source and summit of our faith, Deacon.
No, absolutely. And you know, because Christ still gives himself to us. He's still present to us. He's still feeding us and nurturing us. Because remember, we're pilgrims on this earth. This is not our home. You know, some people are maybe driving to church or driving home, but you got to remember, our home is in heaven. And this is just a stop along the way. So Christ gives us in the sacraments, but especially in the Eucharist, everything that we need to nourish us on this journey of faith until we reach our ultimate home in heaven.
All right. Now you know why they call him the dynamic deacon. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers with us on the Good Book Club today. Deacon, thanks so much for being with us.
You are most welcome. Thank you for having me.
Where can we find out more about you, Deacon?
Yeah, just go to the website, deaconharold.com.
Very good. And could we ask you to give a diaconal blessing for our day today?
Sure. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Deacon. Look forward to our next encounter on the Good Book Club.
Yes, I do as well. Thank you so much.
All right. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Such a great job. A dynamic deacon is such a fitting name as well. I just love how he conveys the messages, but then also in the tones and inflections of his voice make for great radio. They really do.
Has a little bit of passion going there, no doubt about that.